Would you turn with me to the second chapter of the Gospel of John? John chapter 2. We'll read the first 11 verses of John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I want to talk to you this morning about the journey of joy. This chapter, this part of the verse is right on. It's really a revelation of John 1 where we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And that's what the birth of Christ is about, is it not? It sure is. But when we think about joy, I want us to see from this. This is a very familiar reading, I know. It's Jesus' first miracle. And what you can find in the Bible, the first mention of anything is a very good way to study it and the meaning of it. What Jesus is doing here is providing something that was very necessary. In this case, wine at this wedding. But the emblematic point is joy. When you look at the Bible, we find in a couple places in Scripture that wine is used in the symbolism of joy. This miracle, however, is not some venture that man uses to justify drinking a lot, and that Jesus embraced drinking and we ought to drink. Wine in that part of the time, in that history, was a whole lot different than the wine that's made today, and the liquors and the beers that distort so many relationships the way they do. But as we think about this miracle, I want to say 3 things. I want to say one thing is that this journey called life, and it's really about the journey. You can talk about going to heaven all you want to. You can talk about being elected and being predestinated, that you're secure in Christ. And you're right, and you better be thankful for it. But really, it's about the journey. You can talk about saying the vows in the wedding marriage ceremony. You can talk about pronouncing somebody husband and wife. But the reality of that relationship comes in the living it out. It's what God calls sanctification. It's a process. And so we're here in this life called earth life, and we're to live it with joy. How is your joy this morning? I tell you, if your joy is running out, you better check your relationship with God, because He's the source of joy. See, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So my first point is, in this journey of life, we need joy. I mean, it doesn't matter, because when you have joy, it affects everything you do. It affects how we worship. It affects your marriage, your home life. It affects your work. I mean, We're called in Scripture to rejoice in all things, just like we're to be thankful and to pray in all conditions. Joy is a lot like peace in that, and it's not dependent upon circumstances. It's not the absence of problems, but it's the presence of God. If you have God in your life, then you've got to have joy. And if you don't, we need to know where you find it. But I'm just saying, if you don't have joy, you're in a mess. I mean, you really are. You have nothing if you don't have joy. And so here's this wedding, and they run out of wine. And in life, sometimes the unexpected things can cause our joy to leak out. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is prepared for all our unexpectedcies. He is. And this first miracle really is a display of the God-man, the glory that he's revealed. And it's an indication that his life is about to change, his ministry, that is. And you know, he says it to his mama, he says, my time's not yet come. And he's talking about the cross. But there is a timing to it all. And so God sent forth his son in the fullness of time, according to Galatians 4. That is what Christmas is about. And yet, the greatest chorus that is given in the birth of Jesus is, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy. Great joy. We need to just be bubbling over with joy. Now, when I think about joy and I try to define it, I haven't looked at anywhere. I guess there's a lot of better definitions. But I think about it like this. It is a feeling from the heart inside that everything's going to be all right, that is not dependent on outside circumstances. You don't have something to prop you up. You don't have to be medicated. You don't have to have a drink. You don't have to have a drug. You can have just a good feeling about your life because you know that it's from God, okay? That's what joy is. And you can have joy, and you can see that in people. You can look at somebody's eyes and tell they got joy or not. I mean, it is something that's like Peter speaking and betrayed when he betrayed Christ. They knew he'd been with Jesus. See, when you spend time with Jesus, you will have joy. And even though we do have some ebb and flows, for the most part, joy is such a blessing of God. And so here we see this great miracle. And it is a miracle. I want to say that again. Joy, and it's something that God does. It's something that can't be done in any other way but by Christ. Now let's look at this from the context of this miracle. And again, journey of joy. Notice it talks in a marriage. Don't you understand here what Jesus is teaching us? That a marriage, human relationships, Jesus Christ is saying, you know, you need to have joy in that relationship. If you're a married person and you don't have joy, you need to go to Christ immediately. You need to nurture that joy in your marriage. Marriage was ordained by God, okay? So it's God's idea. And so we need to understand that we need to see this and embrace this and see the joy that God has given us in that relationship, that we have joy. And it understands too that we see that we have a need and that Jesus is embracing that you need to have joy. Jesus knew that they needed this wine. In other words, that we need joy in that relationship. His mother is here. Now, even greatly underlining the importance of human relationships and Jesus' part in all of that. See, in your life, you got a lot of relationships. The most important one is God. But you have people in your life. If you're married or if you're single or if you have people you work with, you go to church with, well, you have a relationship. Relationships are powerful. The Christian life is about a relationship, first of all, about, again, a relationship with God. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is about a relationship with God. Don't you remember he said, Emmanuel, God with us. That's Jesus. And the most important thing about you and me is our relationship with God. How is it? Now listen, you've got to understand that you're a sinner, and I do, and I know that I am, but I've got to understand this, that I have a Savior. And God sent us a Son, His only begotten Son, so that we would have a relationship with Him, and He intends for us to have the right kind of relationship with one another. Well, one of the greatest evidences of your being saved is that you have a love for the brethren. That's what God says, 1 John 3:14, that we love one another. We love the brethren. You know you've been passed from death into life. But relationships is how we got it. It's hard sometimes. I heard somebody say the other day asking about your marriage. How's your marriage? She said, it's hard. And it's true. But it's a joyous relationship. It's a process. And so Jesus is saying, let's start. And he tells his mother, and I want us to get this in a little different sway on this context, and I'll go back to my thought in a minute, but I want us to understand that he says, you know, Jesus' mother says they have no wine. And Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, he's not at all belittling his mother. I mean, it could be a mild rebuke, but I'm going to tell you, that day, when he used woman, it's like lady. He's not degrading his mama. But it's rather embracing the human relationship and the need of joy in this life. So joy, I want us to get this established in our hearts in this Christmas season, in our life in general, that it is so important that we embrace that we need joy. And that is important. We need to cultivate that. Now when that comes, it doesn't always come like we think. It sometimes comes by understanding that we have a desperate need. See? Don't ever lose the miraculous fact of being forgiven, that it is a miracle. It is not just happenstance. I mean, it is a miracle that God has forgiven us. And it happened because of Christ and His blood. And so... Joy is needful. And it's needful. And if your joy is running out, I pray that you would call upon God. And there's no excuse, because God is everlasting life. Now here's the thing. If you're gonna serve sin just to get the joy, and that's probably what we do. I want to say, you know, sin and doing things that are sinful might give you and I some short-term pleasure, but it won't give you any joy. It'll run out. When you make up your mind to serve God, you will understand what joy is and what a blessing that is. Now, secondly, I wanted to say this, that in this text, which you see here, it's prophetic in a way. There's a lot of symbolism. It could be it's dealing with the Jews. Okay, you see this formal ritual. The water pots were there because they were going to do a religious ceremonies were going on. But they didn't realize that they were in the presence of joy. See, the Jews had lost their joy. Religion can suck out joy more than anything. I mean, if you're just going to church just for religious purposes, you won't really get anything out of it. But to know that joy, oh God, give me joy. Give me the perspective of life. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts. He said, that I might finish my course with joy. Don't you want to finish your life with joy? It doesn't matter how you start off necessarily. It doesn't matter what you're going through, but you don't want to finish with joy. The Apostle Paul died in a prison, and yet he finished his course with joy. And he said this, some of his last words says, I've finished my course, I've kept my faith, I've fought a good fight, and he received the crown of righteousness. My friends, don't give up on joy. Don't give up on God, because joy is there. And what a blessing it is to know that we can have joy in the spite of the situations that even our trials and situations in our life are such. In fact, I'd be willing to say that is how we measure the joy of our life. You know, I think about this occasion, and certainly a marriage is a joyous occasion. But it seems to be a simple kind of marriage in a way. I thought about the manger scene. I mean, the joy that was there was just from the simplicity of there in some of the lowest places. Proclaimed by some of the lowest vocations, the shepherds, but the sheer joy of Jesus and his birth. We have so much reason to have joy in our life. And we have absolutely no reason to complain or not to have joy. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves when we complain about anything, really. Because everything comes from God. And what God has given us and seizing us is bringing us the holy fruits of this Holy Spirit is shaping us and molding us to be like Christ. But the marriage here was set. You know, I have been blessed to be parts of marriages, wedding ceremonies, many of you and others asked me to do. I mean, they've been some pretty swanky ones. And I'm thankful. And there's a lot of joy there. But I mean, I have done some. I did a wedding one time for a couple that grew up in my community that had been living together. And you would think, well, they got joy. That they had been living together for 6 or 8 years. They had two little children. Well, when the guy called me up and said, could I come over and talk to you? So they come over and talk to me over in my little office there, and they said, look, we want to get married. I said, why do you want to get married? He said, because it's the right thing to do, and we don't need to be living like this. See, that come from God. See, you know, I stood out there, and it was in April, and our azaleas were blooming. That couple came over there with their little children. Their mama and daddy was there, and a grandparent, and a couple friends, and Penny. And we stood out there in front of those azaleas, and I said the vows. And I was saying the vows, and I look over there, and this guy's weeping. I mean, tears, big old tears coming down his cheeks. I look over there and the bride is weeping. I mean, these youngins are crying. They're not ashamed to cry. You know why? That's what joy does. They had joy because they were doing the right thing. Now, if you really want to get to where joy needs to be in your life, we're going to have to do what God says do. Now, see, what's happening here, Jesus' mother says, whatever he says, you do. And then Jesus tells these servants what to do. You know, a lot of times we're not joyous in our life because we don't do anything. We don't want to do anything. People lay around with their pajamas on half the day. Say, I don't feel like doing anything. You don't have any joy. You don't have any enthusiasm either. I'm going to tell you what, if I didn't do anything except what I felt like doing, I'd be pretty sorry, wouldn't you? I mean, what we got to understand, Jesus says to these guys, says, you fill these water pots with water. Now, how much sense did that make when they were out of wine? God doesn't have to make sense. See, the problem we have, and the reason we don't have any joy, we look at God's word as just a bunch of suggestions. We don't see it as directions. See, we think, well, that's just your opinion. That's just a suggestion. No, it's a direction that Christ explicitly gives if you're going to have joy. Because you won't have joy when you're not obeying God. Now, is this some big... I'm not talking about you got to be a super saint or you got to go off to a mission trip or give $1,000 every week to the church. What I'm talking about is just in your daily time. I'm talking about we serve a God that is commonplace. Right in the midnight hours of your life, right where you are, that's where Jesus meets you. And he comes to meet the necessities. And the second point I want to make is, it's necessities, not possessions. I talk about that wedding. I did a wedding too, one time for a couple. And we just went to a creek here in Bullock County. And they had a truck, an old truck. And it had a CD player in it. You remember them? And they just opened the door to the CD player. And they played, the song they played was, I went down to the river to pray. Remember that song? That's what they played, the wedding. They stayed married till they died. We did the wedding right there by the creek. I'm talking about joy. What I'm saying these things for is it don't take a, it don't, you don't have to have a lot. But what you understand is you need to know where you come from. You need to know who Christ is. You need to know the joy of God in your life, of obeying Him. And what they tell, He tells these disciples or His servants, not the disciples, the servants, go and fill these pots with water. They're empty stone pots. That's just us. You are nothing but empty without Christ. Stone cold, just like these stones. I wish I forgot to bring it, but I was going to bring a glove. You know what you are, and I am a glove. That's all we are. You can't do anything without Christ. So what happened? These people, these servants, they do what Jesus said do. That's what you need to do. You say, well, I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet. That's what Mary did. Has Christ told you to do that? You say, well, I don't know what you have. Have you read God's word? I mean, that's what the Word of God is. Water also in the Bible talks about the Word. Ephesians 5:26 said the washing of the Word. I mean, this is the Word of God. So in likewise, when you fill up with God's Word, see, that still won't do it. Jesus is going to turn that stuff into joy. You can be full of grief. One of the great ministries here at the church is a grief share. I appreciate David and Ann and Warren and Reed and others of you that work in that ministry. That is a powerful ministry. But I guarantee you what it is Christ turning grief into joy. It's not the videos they see. It's not the prayers they pray. It's Christ. And that's the power of a miracle, that Christ does that. And He does it all the time. And what a blessing it is to rejoice in that. And to thank Him for it. But it's about necessities, not possessions. See, that's where we need to see. And relationships, and the joy of relationship, I am convinced, and I saw this week in the accident that Penny had. I've come to realize why I got married to her in the first place. You know why we need to get married? You know, people get married often for selfish reasons. You want to get married to somebody but because you can help them. I mean, Eve is a helpmate to Adam. My wife's the greatest helpmate on God, and I know that God blesses me just because of her in many ways. But I want to tell you what, there was times in my life I sit there in that hospital room and other places, and my little selfish self is, why am I can be doing this and that. I mean, that's what happens. We got to understand this. What's necessary and what we think we got to have. See, that's what joy is about. Because if you think you got to have everything, you'll never have any joy. You'll never have enough. You'll never have enough money. You'll never have enough land. But when you got Christ and He's the joy of that, you can just have a little bit. That'll be enough. Because you got joy to go with it. You know what? I hope she's not listening, but she may be. You know what my wife told me the other night? I got to tell you, in this relationship, and I know many of you have experienced greater tragedies than we have. And I commend especially the men in this church of how valiantly and faithfully you have taken care of your wives. You have set an example for me. And it's coming back to me as I lay there. And I really do nothing. But I remember one night, Penny said, Randy, I don't know what I'd do without you. And it's not that she hadn't always loved me. Don't get me wrong. But that just dawned on me. Can you embrace that with Christ? What would you do without Jesus? Where would you be without a church family? Where would you be and you bring that, see the relationships that Christ built in your wives and, where would we be? And it's not that I didn't all that much, but the fact that my wife said that to me, put something on me. I call it joy. That's what I call it. I'm not talking about giddiness and happiness and play. I'm talking about reality of understanding the purpose of life. And that if you don't have joy, then everything else is nothing. But to have that is filling up your life with the Word of God. That's what Jesus said these disciples to do. Fill it up to the brim. Well, I don't feel like reading the Bible. Jesus does the miracle. You got it? So many of you text. I appreciate asking what you could do. Brother Scott Waters texted me, among others, and said, Brother Randy, we're praying for Penny and you, and what can we do? Can I do anything? I said, well, you can preach Sunday night. I'm thankful Brother Scott's going to preach tonight. Come and support him, pray for him. But then he sent me a text back, says, I can preach Sunday morning too. And I almost said, yeah, I kind of felt like it. And I believe that if Brother Scott Waters here, you'd have a better message than what you're getting from Randy. But I'm going to tell you this. And I told Brother Scott this. I need to stay in the Word. I mean, so many times you have tragedy in your life, you have situations in your life, people just get away from God. They quit going to church because their dog's sick. They got some kind of problem. There's something happening in their life, and they say, I can't go. Man, that's the very time you need to go. I told Brother Scott, I said, Brother Scott, I really appreciate it, and you need to be preaching, but I want to tell you what. I need it worse than you do. I need it worse than this congregation, because when you're hurting, your loved one's hurting, what you need is a word. You need to fill it up. You might not get a thing out of what I'm saying today, but I pray that God will just spill it over out of me. The joy the Word of God brings. And you know, it wasn't about what all these servants did, but they were busy. You understand? They were working. They were working. And they did everything, but Christ did the miracle. Do you know what that means? That means to me that we need to live our lives, if you want joy, that you live like this. Everything depends on me, but I depend on God. You understand that? You have to think about it a minute, I know. But we need to understand that we're to be working. We're to be doing what God's called us to do. We're to be obedient to God and not say, well, that's just a suggestion. No, it's directions. We need to fill it up. Fill our lives up with it, with every opportunity we have. And here's the thing. I'll try to close with this. The reason the water turned into wine was not because of what the servants did, but because of what God did. See? Jesus is God. That's what Christmas is about. And what happens in the life of our life, anything that Jesus is connected to cannot fail. You hear me? If God is on the other end of it, it ain't gonna fail. Never. That's your marriage, that's your singleness, that's your life, your church. You make sure God's on the end, because they were connected to Christ. It can't fail, because we're in Christ, okay? Then He is our head. And the wine also represents His shed blood, don't you know? And that's where the joy really comes in. That His blood cleanses us from all sin. I don't know what kind of problems you and I think we face, but being forgiven is not one of them. And that's the biggest hurdle that you got to get over in me. But God has taken care of that. And even the silence of this miracle, isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus didn't command it. He didn't have a magic formula. I mean, it just, when they started pouring out, it's, hey, this is wine. It just happened. That's what God does in your life. Have you seen that miracle? Have you felt the joy of God in your life? Well, then get on it. Cry out to God and thank Him for the joy that only He can give you. Don't be pouting with God. I mean, don't try to tell God what to do. This mother, you know, that almost was implying that. We're all prone that, God, I want you to do this. I want you to heal this person like this. I want you to take care of this. God's going to do it His way. And that's the only way we're going to get any joy. I'll tell you what, I have kissed my wife more laying on that hospital bed than I ever kissed her at the house in a long time. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what I'm trying to say is these things that happen in our lives, and I know that's, and I'm trying to ask for your pity and all that, but what I'm saying is I want you to see the joy that only God can give. See, the miracle of regeneration, when you feel that, is it evidence that you are a child of God? You know, it just happens. It's joy. It comes from Jesus. You don't have to do anything but obey. You don't have to accept Him as your Savior. You don't have to pray the sinner's prayer. It's all right to do that, I guess, but you don't have to. You don't have to be baptized. Well, most of the people I baptized lately never come back to church. I'm serious. I mean, so what does that mean? But I'm going to tell you this. You got to wonder whether their baptism means anything to determine how much joy they have. See, because you won't have the world and do things that the world wants to do and have any joy. Now, you might be a non-Christian, unsaved person, and you have a lot of happiness. Things just seem like it goes your way all the time. But that's going to run out, my friends. Jesus' joy is eternal. In fact, the best is yet to come. You hear me? I mean, the wine, the best wine, they saved it to last. Did you know what God is doing to your life and mine? The joyous, most joy in our life, we haven't got there yet. God always saves the best for last. And He always gives us something to look forward to. I'm going to tell you this. You count on Christ. Because I'm telling you, He's counting on you. And you know why He's supplying your needs? So you can supply the needs of others. You understand that? God's not just giving you joy so you can just go home with it and watch TV. You take that joy and you share it with somebody because it is contagious. May the Lord bless you. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You so much for loving us and for the joy that You give us. Lord, we wouldn't take anything. You just can't buy it. It's just like salvation. It is salvation. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your precious word. Help us draw closer to You, Lord, in every way. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive me, Lord, for any sinful parts of this sermon that has neglected to give You the honor and the glory. Bless this church. Fill this congregation with joy. These vessels, Lord, of mercy that You've created and recreated, Lord, help them to share the joy. Run their cup completely over so that it spills into the lives of their family, their spouses, their co-workers, and their fellow worshipers. Thank You for loving us and for Your faithfulness. We have lots of reason to thank You, Lord, but no greater than the sheer joy of being Your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.